This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly for the win on the BetRivers Network. You're now listening to Betting Weekly for the win on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to For the Win, the golf betting podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley, and as usual, I'm joined by Neil and Duncan Campbell from At Golf Betting Club to look ahead to the two tournaments on both sides of the Atlantic this week. Got two good big tournaments this week. We'll start off with the Wells Fargo, but before we go into that tournament, let's look at last week. And the boys, Neil, you gave yourself most confident selection of the year, you said, Cameron Champ. And to be fair, he gave us an absolutely fantastic run for the money at 50-1. We've highlighted on this podcast since we started the importance of each way betting, and that showed with his share of sixth place. But it was a tale of what could have been, wasn't it, going into the final round. Looked so good, and then he had that triple bogey, and then our hearts sort of sunk after that.
Yeah, it could have went a lot better for us. I think it just shows the amount of luck involved in golf. I think John Rahm had a couple of similar drives. One bounced out off a buggy and back onto the fairway almost. And then he missed the water narrowly on a drivable par four. But Cameron Champ hits a wild drive and he ends up with a triple bogey, and that's just the way it goes. But no, it was a great week. We had two players in the top five at 50-1 going into the final round, and we can't really ask much more than that. We knew John Rahm was the favourite going in. But it was just too short to entertain at 4-1. But we did say if he goes on to win, so be it. But we still came out in profit with the two each way places.
100%. And it also shows you, and we keep saying that the each way plays are the most important, the most profitable, aren't they, Duncan? I know you're a great believer of that, looking for those odds. Even with the share of the sixth place, we got a better return than those that bet John Rahm to win. So that, again, sort of emphasises our point on the each way betting.
Yeah, I mean, I think we spoke about it last week, didn't we, about the fact that you don't always necessarily have to look for the winner to have a great tournament. You know, if you were back in Ram last week at 4-1, you know, all the best to you and good luck for the rest of the year. But, you know, that we spoke last week that wasn't a bet for us. And you can certainly get better value maybe further down the board, especially if you're betting each way.
Yeah, Cameron Champ was the one that got away, but the boys got the money in the back pocket, and that's all important. We head into this week in profit and in green, and that's what we want. So we said we're going to start with the Wells Fargo Championship. It's not at its usual venue. Its usual venue is Quail Hollow. It's at TPC Pottermark. What do we know about this course? Is there any trends, or is there any tournaments there before that we need to look at before we look into the players to bet?
Yeah, absolutely, nice. So the course has hosted a couple of events on the PGA Tour in the last couple of years. So it hosted the Quicken Loans National back in 2018 and 2017. And what we saw from those two events was actually quite contrasting. You know, one year we saw a really low score winning, and then the next year it was really high. And it goes to show the difference in course conditions. But one thing that was common in both events was that accuracy is key here. You know, the two winners there were Francesco Molinari and Kyle Stanley. And both of those guys were supremely accurate the year that they won. You know, Molinari and Stanley were both in the top five for driving accuracy. And they were actually first for greens in regulation, which is, you know, really unusual that both winners have actually been first for greens in regulation. So really the key for this week is accuracy. And that's what we're focusing on this week.
So accuracy, the key, and the new venue, just check that out, obviously, the TPC Pottermark. Maybe looking and have a look at the leaderboard and those tournaments. I know it was, 5 years ago now, 4 years ago now, but it may be some players that ring relevance this week. Let's look at the betting. Rory McIlroy, short price favourite, won last week in John Rahm. Rory McIlroy is this week's short price favourite at 7-1 with BetRivers. He's the defending champion, but obviously we know he's had a different course. He hasn't been on a golf course since that heroic final round at Augusta. Well, if he produces that, it'll be when every tournament he ever plays, but it's going to be very hard for Rory to produce that. 7-1. What do you think of Rory's chance this week, Duncan?
I think this week it's not maybe the ideal course, you know, for Rory. We saw him obviously finishing really strongly at the Masters, like you said. And if he brings that form, you know, he's going to be a contender. But you've got to look at the course this week. You know, it's a par 70, only two par fives. You know, accuracy is the name of the game. And that's not necessarily Rory's strength. I mean, you're looking at 7-1. I'd probably prefer him on a different type of golf course. So he might not necessarily be a fade this week, but I'm certainly not keen to get involved at the 7-1. I just don't think it's the right course fit for him.
Yeah, Matthew Fitzpatrick is next in the betting at 20-1. He's still waiting for his first PGA Tour victory, isn't he, Neil? And missed the cut last time out. I mean, I know you've been quite vocal about Fitzpatrick and the win markets. You know, we've always said that he's potentially to be a good bet for the top 20 or top 30. But second favourite in a decent field for Fitzpatrick does seem relatively short, doesn't it, in the betting?
Yeah, and I think that just shows, again, where it's quite a relatively low field strength. We're seeing very short prices on guys that haven't won in quite some time. And Matt Fitzpatrick probably comes into that bracket. I just personally, it's just too short. You'd be wanting 33-1 plus on Matt Fitzpatrick, as you're probably looking at the each way angle for him. And then he's not even coming in the best of form. So it was definitely one we were happy to overlook.
It does look very short to me. Is it popular play with BetRivers whenever they send through the handle? And Fitzpatrick is always someone that I think the bettors think he's going to win a tournament. They don't want to miss out. You know, you get that sort of player, don't you, that you bet every week. And then when he wins the tournament, you think to yourself, oh, why wasn't I on him that week? And I think Fitzpatrick could be that kind of person. Just remember, Bet Rivers are offering a 50 odds the first six here for the each way betting. So you get a fifth of that 20-1, which is 4-1 if the player finishes in the first six. Corey Connors is the next bet at 20-1. And out of the two of them at 20-1, I think Corey Connors has been Mr. Consistent on the PGA Tour recently. Four top 12 finishes in his last six, and a player that is always in or thereabouts around the top end of leaderboards. 20-1 Connors, if it was a match bet with Fitzpatrick, I know which one I want to be taking.
I think there's a lot of similarities between two of them, isn't there? They arguably both should have won more on the PGA Tour. You know, I know Fitzpatrick hasn't won yet, but they both should have won more on the PGA Tour, given the strength of their game. You know, both of them have a really good tee to green games, and sometimes the putting, you know, lets them down. But Connors is still, you know, fractionally short in the betting, I think, for me. You know, given the potential problems that he has crossing the finishing line, you know, I'm not in a huge rush to back him, you know, those kind of odds in the outright market. But like you say, he's Mr. Consistent, isn't he? You know, he's always there or thereabouts for the top 20. So if you are looking for a match bet, you know, Connors certainly would be an option, you know, just given the fact that he never seems to have a bad week.
No, unlike us, we have bad weeks regularly. We never have bad seasons, we have bad weeks. Next one we have is Tony Finau. I mean, he produced a fantastic final round in Mexico. It looked like he could come from nowhere and steal the tournament. That's the way that Tony Finau wins tournaments, isn't it? You know, when he's in the lead by six shots, you want to oppose him, but coming out that field and getting a chance, I think Tony Finau, he's 22-1. With what you say about accuracy, would Finau's game fall into that? He's probably more of a long hitter that the course might not suit. What do you think of Finau's chances at 20-1, given the way he ended last week in Mexico?
I think a strong Tony Finau always has to be respected. You know, once he gets that momentum going, you know, for him, it's the putter. If the putter's working, he's always a threat, you know, generally most places that you go. And it was really encouraging the way he was talking about, you know, how he felt like he was putting better last week. And I think he has to be, you know, factored into the equation. He's a bit like Rory, and I probably want maybe a slightly different course for him this week. I'm not sure TPC Potomac necessarily plays exactly to Tony's strengths. You know, we spoke about the two par fives, and I think that maybe 20-1 is a bit of an overreaction to last week's strong performance. But I will say he was excellent tee to green last week. He looked, you know, supreme, especially in that last round, and I think that he has to be a danger, but 20-1 is too short for me, and I wouldn't take that price.
And perhaps someone to look at.
Just to butt in, I think with Tony Finau, I think that was a big round for him on Sunday. The way he spoke after it, I felt like it was a turning point in his season. Obviously, I think the bookmakers have cottoned on to that as well, and 22-1 is very short. But I think he's one to consider maybe for the PGA Championship coming up. So he's had two top tens in the last two PGA Championships. And in general, there are courses which demand a lot, a long, powerful, straight hitter. So the way Tony Finau is hitting the ball, ball striking wise, he's probably one to consider at odds of around about 50 to 1.
Yeah, Tony Finau. I also quite like him in a group bet to this week. You know, if you picture that kind of bracket where you've got those people at 22s, 20s, Connors, Fitzpatrick, Finau, if you can get him at a decent price in that group, I thought he would probably be a bet. I can never back Tony Finau to win any tournament, you know, given the way that he should have won 22 golf tournaments with the chance he's had. But I couldn't bet. But in that group bracket, I quite like. So look for him there. Bet Rivers are currently 35 to 1. They're not silly. They're making them look short. You can get the 50 to 1 elsewhere, but Bet Rivers are 35. Let's look at two other contenders, both at 28 to 1. Tyrrell Hatton and Russell Henley. Tyrrell Hatton, great putter, but the rest of his game seems to have gone a little bit wayward.
Yeah, he's been putting fantastically well. I think he's in either the first or the top three in the strokes gained putting this year. He's absolutely smashing it with the putter this year and seems to be holing everything. But, you know, his demeanour like seems to be letting him down a little bit. You know, he had a bit of a tantrum at the Masters, didn't he, where he kind of was a bit critical of Augusta. And then the next couple of weeks, you know, he's posted a couple of top 20, top 25, top 30 finishes. But it hasn't really quite happened for Tyrrell this year. It seems like there's two or three good rounds and he isn't quite getting that fourth good round. So for me, you know, Tyrrell's a fraction short in the betting and I'm in no huge rush to back him. Russell Henley is similar to Connors and Fitzpatrick in a lot of ways, just can't seem to get the job done. For all that, he's a fantastic ball striker and will likely post another top 30, top 20 finish. You know, I just can't take him to win at those odds. If you're playing, you know, fantasy golf or anything like that, he's always a sound pick because you know what you're going to get from Russell Henley. You're going to get a good week. But if you're looking at the outright betting market, can you trust Russell Henley to win that kind of range? Not for me.
No. Just a couple of other notables in the betting. Abraham Anser, 30 to 1. No pressure on him after last week in Mexico. Disappointed. And we spoke about perhaps the pressure he had on his home course. And there's a couple of others that I've got written down here, which I like, but I'm not going to mention them until I find out who you like, because I reckon we're going to agree on one of them. I'm not sure. I'm thinking we might do. So the point of the show, Duncan, I'm going to ask you, who's the winner of the 2022 Wells Fargo Championship?
I'm going to give you two answers, Nige.
So, oh, okay. Hopefully I've got the two here.
We're going to do it differently this week. So we'll start with a guy who I really like as an each way bet. We spoke earlier on in the show about how each way betting can be quite profitable and there's a guy that I think this week is a really sound each way bet given the way that he played last week, and that guy is Ches Reavy.
That wasn't who I had. Ches Reavy though is my biggest ever winner on golf. I bet he won a tournament a couple of years ago. I can't remember the tournament. It was 100 to 1 or 80 to 1. It was my biggest ever winner. So I like Ches Reavy. So explain to me. He hasn't made the board yet, though. But if he wins this week, I'm going to get a picture of Ches Reavy. Ches and Dave are on the board, but Ches Reavy's not on the board yet. Explain to me, Duncan, why he is the bet and what price can we get with Bet Rivers?
Yeah, so Ches Reavy, Bet Rivers, you're looking at 150 to 1. You know, nice juicy price there. Two-time winner on the PGA Tour in the past. Didn't have his best year last year, kind of struggled a bit. But 13th last week in Mexico on a course that shouldn't really suit him at all. And one of the things that I like to look for when I'm betting on golf is that players who maybe exceeded their expectations in a previous week. So last week in Mexico was a really long course, you know, not much rough. Pretty much what Ches doesn't want. You know, Ches wants a shorter course where accuracy is key. And the fact that he still managed to post a 13th place finish is eye-catching in itself. When you look at the stats and start to drill down a bit more, you see that actually there's a lot to like about Ches this week. He's 8th in driving accuracy on the PGA Tour this year. And his iron play last week in Mexico was strong as well. You know, he was top 25 for strokes gained approach. So he fits the characteristics that we're looking for, you know, that kind of shorter, accurate player. Past winner on the PGA Tour. And one of the things I really like about Ches is that for his four career wins, three of them have followed a top 12 finish. Now, I know he was 13th last week. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the extra place. But, you know, he's clearly a player that goes well. You know, he wins after a big finish. And given he was 13th last week, I think he might put up a reasonable challenge at TPC Potomac this week. So 150-1 each way, Ches Reavie.
Like Ches Reavie, I'd say me and Ches go back a long way. Got history together, the two of us. So I like him this week. But you said you were going to have the second one for us. Who's our second pick? We're getting double bubble for your money. You're not getting paid double money, but it's nice, nice to be told that we're getting two tips for Erwin. Who have you got?
I think if you like a price, you know, a bit nearer the front of the board, I think Abraham Ansah is a relatively kind of sound bet. You know, again, he ticks that box of driving accuracy and good iron play. I know last week wasn't a particularly strong finish in Mexico. You know, he was, 42nd? But again, that's a course that's not particularly, you know, suited to Abraham Ansah's game. Abraham is all about, you know, accuracy and quality iron play. And he was excellent last week with his irons. So I think that Abraham Ansah is one that I'd want to keep an eye on this week. And I think the course perhaps suits him better. And you get an odds of around 30-1, I think. And he'd be the one closer to the front of the board that I would perhaps look to.
Well, that's my two were Mark Leishman and Keegan Bradley. I thought we might go for Mark Leishman and Keegan Bradley, but what do I know? But anyway, so the Doys have gone for a big price. Ches Reavie, 150-1, and Abraham Ansah at 30-1 at the Wells Fargo Championship. Check out the website, check out the each way betting. And also there's going to be a whole host of match bets. And if you're taking Reavie 150-1, you may well look at the top 20, top 30, top 40, because you need to get a decent price for that as well. And all those will be available on the Bet Rivers website. Neil, I know you've been looking at the tournament closer to home to us over here in England at the British Masters, which is at Belfry. I wondered why you wanted to look at a tournament which boasts one of the best nightclubs in the Midlands. But being out of you, I know exactly why that is. But let's have a look at the betting here. Now, this is probably the most wide open. It is the most wide open golf tournament of the calendar year so far. It's a bit of a minefield. I think your older brother's gone, you have the tough one, and I'll take it to Wells Fargo, because if you can get to the bottom of this, you'll be solving crime mysteries. Jordan Smith is the favourite, and he's 25-1 to win, and he is the favourite. Only one TP World Tour victory, 18th last week, but 25-1 Jordan Smith. I'm not going to say it's a short price, but I don't look at that and think that he deserves to be tournament favourite or joint favourite in the field there is.
Yeah, just before I come on to the market favourites, I'll just give a quick brief overview of what we're looking for, probably.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so we're going to the Belfry, so it's par 72. One of the key features of the course is there's actually 12 par 4s this week, so usually there's only 10. So we'll be looking for someone that's good in par 4 performance on the stats. Stats-wise, the key around Belfry is there's a lot of small targets in the greens, and there's lots of thick, rough and dangerous bunkers surrounding. So what the key stats are telling us is we're looking for strong approach players, so on the strokes gained approach, and we're looking for players that are very good at scrambling. So they're bound to miss a few greens this week, and we want someone that can get it up and down. The winning score this week is traditionally, it's not in your low teens, it's somewhere between 11 under and 15 under. So no one's going to run away with it in that aspect. So just going back to the market favourite then, Jordan Smith. It is a very short price. The one thing I'll say about Jordan Smith is he kind of fits the Adrie Arnaus mould. I know he's already won before, but you feel like that win is around the corner soon with Jordan Smith. He was 19th here in his last start. I think others are preferred, but Jordan Smith is so good tee to green, it wouldn't surprise me to see him in the top 10. And I certainly wouldn't be opposing Jordan Smith in a match bet because he's so consistent.
Yeah, there's five joint favourites this week. Jordan Smith is one of them. The other one is someone who's probably played the Belfry more than anybody else in the tournament, Lee Westwood. 25 wins on the TP Tour. 14th at the Masters in his last event, rolling back the years with some superb form there. Westwood's always got to be considered in these kind of tournaments, hasn't he? I mean, you know, he just experience, he knows what he's doing, and if he's in with a shout, he's you know, 25 tour wins. But all these others in these leaderboards were relatively rookies or they're one tour wins. So at 25 to win, if he's up for it, which is the thing, if he really fancied this week, Westwood's got to be a contender.
Yeah, Lee's high on our shortlist this week. I mean, 14th at the Masters is extremely impressive. And he must take some inspiration from Richard Bland winning last year at the age of 49 on the same course. So it is that sort of course where, you know, he can plot his way around and use all his experience. Of course, he's a winner at this course back in 2007 when it was used on tour. And he was also a runner-up the year after. So he's got plenty of form here. And yeah, he must be one to consider. I like Lee's chances this week.
Next is Adrian Maronk, third last week in Spain, third in Qatar recently as well. Hasn't won a tournament, but he's, again, fits into that mold. Arnaus and Jordan Smith. He's going to be a winner not too far away, is he? The poll's going to get over the line soon.
Yeah, I think he will. The price is far too short this week. I think he's got the classic mixture of course form and recent form, which has just drove his price down. And now he's in the sort of same bracket as these guys that are playing on the PGA Tour most weeks. So for that reason, he's just not one to consider. And I'd rather get him on side when he drifts back out to the 33-1, 40-1 range. But again, you know, he's it's hard to make a case against the front of the market in the DP World Tour because they're all strong players in comparison to the lower half of the field.
I think that's maybe a point worth making as well, that, you know, we saw last week that Arnaus drifted out to 40-1 for the event last week. And we'd seen him earlier on in the season, you know, start at this kind of 20, 22, 25 kind of range. But it's maybe worth kind of like waiting for these guys to drift back out, like Neil says, and take them when they're at a higher price and get a bit more, you know, bang for your buck, rather than kind of jumping on when everyone's trying to get on at 22, you know, that kind of price. So I think Maroc probably falls into that category like Arnaus did last week. You know, maybe wait for that 40-1 that comes around in a few weeks.
Yeah, obviously the calibre of opposition is stronger as well. You know, this is a lower rank. You know, the tournament is pretty weak here, so that's probably why people are scrambling to get the price. But we always look for the value, and if a player's hitting form, he can win anywhere. So look for that bigger price, but keep them on the shortlist. May not necessarily be the value at 25s, but next week or the week after, 40s, 50, Maronk could get over the finishing line. Two other players are also joint favourites this year, and I know it's a bit of one that got away last week, wasn't it, with Arnaus? You put him up as a player to consider. You didn't put him up as an official player on your website at golfbettingclub.com. I looked at his record here. He comes second, I think, in the My Golf tournament earlier in the year, and then he had two terrible rounds straight after. He could fall into that category of Larrazabal, couldn't he, where he's had a big win. I know Larrazabal did well last week, but historically, Larrazabal has a big win, and winning Spain, he's going to be absolutely pumped, and then he's got to come over, travel over to here at the Belfry, and he looks to me at 25-1 he could be one to struggle this week.
Yeah, I mean, Arnaus is the type that can stay hot. If you look back at his form, he can put like four top tens in a row last year together. But I think he's been waiting so long for that win, and you could see the emotion pour out of him when he sank the winning putt. And on his social media, there was about 30 of his friends in one of the photos, so you can only imagine the party they were having after that. So I think out of the front of the market, Arnaus has missed two of his last three cuts, even though he won last week. So I think out of the front of the market, he would be the one I would be most keen to take on, because you can make claims for the rest of them quite strongly.
The other person who's joined favouritism with the five at the top of the leaderboard is Robert McIntyre. I know you guys have been quite keen on McIntyre, a lot of these type of tournaments, especially in the early part of when we were doing this. But something doesn't seem to be right about McIntyre at the moment, does he? I mean, he's not playing as well as he did last year, but he's got the potential, and you could hit him at a good price. And in a tournament like this, if this tournament was 12 months ago, it would be half the price of 25s.
Yeah, well, McIntyre was last seen at the Pairs event and then on the PGA Tour, where they missed the cut. I can't remember his playing partner off the top of my head, but I do remember seeing a couple of McIntyre shots and thinking he's not fully where he wants to be. And the other thing to say about McIntyre is he's on the record saying he prefers events such as the majors because there's absolutely no pressure on him or expectations to play well, whereas he finds it a little bit more difficult when he's coming into these events as one of the favourites. So as soon as I heard that quote, I just didn't think that that didn't sit well with me in terms of taking him under, you know, 25-1. So that combined with where his game is not fully where it wants to be, I'm just looking at the stats now. Last four finishes, he's not had a top 20 finish. So, no, I'd be happy to pass on him this week.
There's a group of players just behind those market leaders at 28-1. Laurie Cantu should have won last week, come third. Oliver Becker, he's in very good form, the South African. And Sam Horsfield at 28-1, hasn't played since January, but his form at the end of last year and the start this year has been really, really good. And Horsfield's an interesting one, isn't he? Because if he's fit and he's well, he will go well here. What do you make of those three, and which one would you be leaning towards out of the three of them?
Definitely Sam Horsfield for me. He's been injured. He started the season really strong, a few top tens and out in Dubai and stuff. And then he had a layout for injury, but he returned in the pairs competition as well. He was playing with Matt Wallace, and they were actually playing very, very good golf. And Matt Wallace said after the round, it was nice to be hitting some short birdie putts for once, because his long in the foursomes, because his long game's been such a state. But it just shows how well Sam was playing. And Sam's approach play is up there with anyone in this field, which is what we're looking for this week. And he's a very, very strong contender. We're still thinking about putting him up for the subscribers this week. But there is one I like slightly more that we'll talk about in a minute.
Well, that's where we're going to come on to now. I put a big star next to Horsfield because I thought he could be an in-play bet. I thought if he starts off well and he's in contention, then I'm going to take him because I think he's the class in the field. There's one other person I've got marked down here. And I've got two stars next to his name, thinking that this is definitely you're going to be your tip. And I'm very interested to hear who you believe will be the winner of the 2022 British Masters.
I believe the winner will be Justin Hearding.
No. Well, that's not Justin Harding. That's a South African accent there, mate. He don't talk like this. It's Justin Harding. That's
it. Not guilty, Your Honour.
And I had Nicolai Højgaard. I thought you might go for Nicolai Højgaard, but there you go. Okay, Justin Harding. I mean, do you know what? He's a player that always is overrated by the market. The market never, ever, ever has him at a decent price. What price are you getting Justin Harding? I didn't even see him on the list.
Yeah, he's available at 40s this week, which I think is a very good price. I feel like he's kind of been forgotten about almost in the market. But this is a guy that's played in majors and put some good finishes in these sort of big tournaments. So the thing to like about Harding, he's coming in on the back of two top tens. He chose to play in South Africa last week at their tour championship. So he had a top 10 there. And then before that, he was fifth in Qatar. I always like Justin Harding at these tighter tree-lined venues. And I think he tends to always show up. Then he's a very accurate player. He's ranked in the top 10 in scrambling this year, which is great. That's what we're looking for. And he's also a strong putter. So I feel like he could put a very good week together. He also ranks in the top 10 for par four performance. So he'll enjoy the extra par fours this week. And he's got a good record in Britain. He was second in Wales last year. And he also had a top 10 in Northern Ireland. And he was also second at the British Masters 2 years ago, which was at a different course. But they always tend to find quite similar venues for the British Masters. So overall, I just think there's a lot to like about Justin Harding this week. I feel like he might be the forgotten man at the moment. And if he gets in contention, we know he can win because he's a multiple winner on tour.
I like that a lot. I didn't notice that. I'll tell you one thing I'll just pick up on you. Do you think there's a lot of sort of golf odds compilers and a lot of bettors really concentrate on the European Tour, a DP World Tour, and also the PGA Tour? So if a player is playing in South Africa or he's playing, it seems to go under the radar a little bit. Say, for example, Justin Harding had finished eighth last week in Spain. People would have seen that performance a little bit more, and he could have been 25-1. Do you think that's sort of happens in golf betting? So, you know, to keep cast your eye across the globe.
It could do. It depends which way they look at it. The odds compilers might be looking at that and think, oh, Justin Harding hasn't even won a weaker event in South Africa. But to me, it's a great warm-up. I know the flight over isn't ideal, but this is a guy that travels all the time, and I'm sure he's used to that. But there probably is an element of that. We all watched the Spanish event on TV, whereas I doubt any of us watched the South African event. So these guys that performed well in Spain will be at the forefront of the minds. So hopefully that is a bit of value that we've plucked out there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be the case with bettors. I think bettors will be watching the Spanish action and betting the likes of Moronk or Arnaus or Becker or Cantor. And then Justin Harding just goes under the radar a little bit because he performed at a tournament that isn't live on television. And unless you're a real golf geek like you two guys are, you know, you'll be following that tournament or looking or following it around. I didn't mean to be patronizing with golf geeks. I mean, you work hard at your golf, you know, you love your golf. It's, you know, that's why we have you on here, because this is what you do. You live and breathe golf. Okay. I don't know how you make time for anything else, but you clearly do, because Duncan's got three kids under the age of five. But anyway, let's just go on to the best tips. It's going to have a quick wrap over the two tournaments. The Wells Fargo Championship, remember, different tournament this week, a different course this week. The TPC Potomac, we've got two. Double your money, take double for the price here. Same for 2-for-1 from Duncan. We've got Ches Reavy at a massive 150-1. Check out the Bet Rivers markets on top 20, top 30, top 40 on Reavy. We like him at 150. And we also like Abraham Anser at 30-1. The pressure is off after the Mexican performance, and he can go here and play. And of course, that we believe will suit. And the British Masters at the Belfry, we're going to go for Justin Harding at 40-1. Guys, thank you very much. Have a great week. I know the winner's just around the corner. Cameron Champ didn't do the business for us, didn't go over the line, but a good return last week on our bets. And I think we're going to have another good week this week. Take care of yourself and gamble responsibly. All the best, lads.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly for the Win on the Bet Rivers Network.